got to watch that Ricky Gervais special.
I'm not watching it. He's transphobic.
He's hilarious.
Ricky Gervais is canceled.
Nope.
Yes, he is. We're recording. Hi, this is we're talking about the Ricky Gervais special. That we're at, what episode is this? This is season 7, episode 21, Radio Lab. Steph's not here tonight. I wasn't here last week, but I'm here tonight. Hello.
Get a haircut, you hippie.
Hi, I just got a haircut today.
Yeah, it looks good.
Thanks. I went and saw my buddy Jason Haig, who's not real. I mean, he's my hair buddy, my hair friend.
Regarding our friend with the gray hair.
That sounds worse the more you describe it.
That sounds bad. But he's a cool dude. I like the way he cuts my hair. So I go to where I used to work, Mary Todd, and get my hair cut there because I like Jason. And I like going to that neighborhood, but that neighborhood is kind of like just a giant billboard now for every possible conceivable thing you could think of, except, well, not everything. Like, there's no, like, less taxes or anything like that down there, but it is. It's just like a big billboard, but it's cool. Whatever. I don't mind. I'm just saying.
Did they make you wash your own hair?
No, they don't, you have to pay to get your hair washed now. So I washed it this morning myself in our shower, and the shower curtain fell off and hit me in the head because we are getting our bathroom redone and our main bathroom redone. So we got a new tub, new floor tile. It's really cool. She did a really good job. She does on all that stuff. My wife is the she, not some lady we hired. But no, Caitlin does a great job. Any kind of project like that, she fucking kicks ass at it. But the plumber, is tardy, to say the least. So we don't have a toilet yet, and we don't have our sink.
That's why I'm gonna have to poop in your bathtub when I come over on Saturday.
I'm digging a latrine tomorrow.
Yeah, do it Asian style. You just kind of straddle the hole and just hope you make it in.
Is that considered something that we probably should edit out? Yeah. I bet you there are people from that culture that have toilets.
It's not a stereotype. It's actually, I mean, you don't shake hands with your left hand in the Middle East for a reason.
Well, you should say certain cultures.
Certain cultures stand over a hole and
right
and blast like the floor.
What you said earlier, and then or like put like a picture of a Chinese guy over it.
Ricky Gervais has a funny thing on his new special about Chinamen.
You can't say that.
That's what he says. He says you can't say Chinamen. He's like, plus it's the worst, most lazy insult anyone's ever thought of.
Where's like he from?
Like the first guy comes over from China and he's like, where are you from? He's like, China. It's like, okay, you're a Chinaman. What about my wife? She's a lady Chinaman. And then the guy goes, you can't call me that. And he goes, well, what's your name? And the guy goes, Ling. What is that, your first name or your last name? And he goes, both. And then the guy goes, your name is Ling Ling? Hello.
All right. All this has to be sent. It does. What do you think you are, Shane Gillis? Speaking of Shane Gillis, he is on the big comedy show that Burt Kreischer's doing. Fully Loaded Comedy Festival. It's coming to Atlanta. And you can go to that. It is on a Saturday. So if you're worried about work or whatnot, you don't have to worry about work. Fully Loaded Comedy Festival, Lawrenceville, Georgia, Cool Ray Field, featuring Burt Kreischer, Nikki Glaser, Big J Okerson, and Mark Norman. I smoked pot with Nikki Glaser once. Nikki Glaser and Josh Blue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to say some sort of identifier other than the fact that he is different.
Looks like Sal Vulcano's going to be there too, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Yeah, and Shane Gillis, which is why I said Shane Gillis and then pivoted to that. But yeah, we try not to use triggering words that would upset people. So a lot of that stuff that Jeff and Dustin were talking about with
the Ricky Gervais special.
Their hate.
Canceled. I'm not getting canceled.
You ever see that episode of The Office where, Michael Scott's citing Chris Rock special?
How come Chris Rock can do a routine and everybody finds it hilarious and groundbreaking, and then I go and do the exact same routine, same comedic timing, and people file a complaint to corporate?
Led to Diversity Day.
Yeah, I know, but it would be any day. You wouldn't be able to do that. Like, I couldn't do like shit from Raw in front of a bunch of like 23-year-old women at the office.
Sure you could.
Yeah, but then I would get fired. And Raw is, I think, still probably one of the filthiest stand-up specials ever released.
Then it would look like 40 white guys fighting 40 black guys with a race war and suntan lotion and Jerry Carroll juices shooting all over the page.
I wish Eddie Murphy would go back to doing stand-up. He has no reason to, but he was a very funny comedian, which leads me to believe that he probably didn't write a lot of that material. Maybe his brother did. I didn't know Chris Rock's brother was a stand-up comedian, but he's in town this weekend.
Yep.
I know, I've never seen him do stand-up. Have you?
I've seen him on short stuff on TV.
Yeah. So coming up tonight on the show, we have our friends from Sketchworks, who we've had on the show before. And one of the actors we had on a couple of months ago, as he was in Hawkeye and also Cobra Kai, Brian Troxell and John Babcock. You know, remember we had them on, I think, 2018. May have been 2019, but I think it was 2018, talking about a musical that they had put together as a parody on Grease called Vape, the musical. Well, they got a cease and desist, and then a judge said they could ignore it or whatever. There's a whole story behind it, but they were being sued by the people who own Grease, you know, the musical. And, well, they won. And so we're going to talk to them tonight and find out how that happened and when they're going to start performing it again if they haven't already. So that's pretty awesome, and we congratulate those guys. But it's nice to find out what happened with that, because I thought it was a great idea, and then all of a sudden, well, Grease is mad. John Travolta got mad. You can't do that. Of course, Jeff's favorite of the Grease movies is Grease 2, which is weird but cool.
I told my partner on Vape 2, the cool mint rider.
Cool mint rider.
Yeah.
Rex Manning Day.
COOLMINTY.
You have to have the same people in it, right? Wouldn't it be cool if they made a Grease now and set it in the 80s, where all those people were in their 70s like they are now in real life?
It would be better than the remake they made.
What the remake?
That reboot live thing they did on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, well, that was like a high school production.
Yeah, usually those things aren't very good. Hey, last night we went out to Atlanta Pizza in Euro for trivia night. We've been talking about it for quite a while. Of course, our sponsor, Mike Hall, was out there. We got to see the food truck. Steph didn't make it, so she didn't get to drive it, even though she wanted to. But it was a lot of fun. We had good food, and I had a couple of really good beers. We'll talk about those in a little bit, the beers, because they're, you know, he's a sponsor and they're going to be in the ad. But it was a pretty good turnout. So who all came out? I forget.
Tim.
Oh, I want to give him. No, we all showed up. You, me, and. Oh, yeah. Tim Allen showed up.
Yeah, Tim and his family. Dennis Davis and his family.
Okay.
We hadn't seen them since the bowling thing before COVID. And then they were in Vietnam for the entire span of the lockdown and stuff. So, yeah, it was cool to see them again.
Who was it in Vietnam?
Dennis Davis, the one that was sitting across from Tim Allen.
Yeah. I didn't know he was in Vietnam, though.
Yeah, he went over there right before lockdown happened, and they got stuck over there. And what I think what intended to be 6 months turned into, you know, 2.5 years or 2 years.
Was he able to work, or does he work there?
Yeah, he works via the internet, so he was able to keep going. And it was he had a blog online about the whole thing the entire time. It was really cool to follow during that whole time period. Shit. And it was good. That's why I told him the handshake I got was a handshake 2 years in the making.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Well, thanks to those guys for showing up. Mike and Kim, thank you for everything. And
we should have just bet 1 point on the final.
Yeah. We led from round one all the way to the end of the fourth round or sixth round. I don't remember how many rounds there were. I guess there was six. And, you know, at the end of the first three, you get a bonus question. And at the end of the end, you, like Jeopardy style, wager. And you have to write down all the points you're betting and take them up before he asks the question. So we just bet everything. And we had done really, really well.
The category was 80s movies. And I mean, yeah. look who you're talking to. Yeah.
Exactly. And
we're like,
we got this.
We'll wager it all.
Yeah. And then the question ended up being, what time did lightning strike the clock tower in Back to the Future?
According to the flyer, at precisely 10.04 p.m. this Saturday night, lightning will strike the clock tower, electrifying the cable.
And who remembers that?
Not us. That's for apparently. Sure.
Well, I don't think anyone got it right, but you won if you didn't bet all your points. And we would have won, so I'm going to say that we did win.
Everything but the last question, yeah, we smoked it.
Right, like I was winning at poker all night until I went all in, and then I lost. Yeah. But until that time, I was winning. But it was good. It was a lot of fun, man. I would like to go back and do it again.
Yeah, we got to find out how long he's going to be doing that. Is he doing it the whole summer?
He's doing it through October.
Okay.
So yeah,
that's pretty awesome. Trivia's fun, and I guess you get. What did I think? First place, you get bar cash. Second place, you get
it's different levels of bar cash.
Atlanta pizza and euro dough.
Okay, but then if
you literal dough from the pizza.
Yeah, but if you come in second place, you get to go get a freebie at the glory hole, and if you come in third, you have to be on the other side.
Yeah, you have to work.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it work if you enjoy it. But if you don't, yeah, it's some rough work. We had an idea for a thing we're going to talk about tonight, because Steph isn't with us, we're going to push it back. But it was pick the worst major character from a prestige television show. And I'll just give you a generic example. No, I won't, because they're funny and they're good. And I want to wait for Steph to get back because she put a lot of funny ones in there. So, but if you can think of one, post it in the Radio Shack, post it in our Facebook page. Post it on Twitter if you so desire at @radio_labyrinth, but posting it in the Radio Shack or on Facebook's more likely to get seen. And we'll talk about it next week when we do the bit, but it's the worst major character from a prestige TV show. So what's a prestige TV show? The Sopranos, Ozark, The Wire, anything like that got a lot of praise. Like Mad Men, okay, Greg Harris, Sam Page. Why would that be the worst character in a prestige show? Jeff, you're the biggest Mad Men fan.
What he did to Joan.
All right. That is bad, what he did to Joan. However, I'm talking about people that are really annoying, not just because of their behavior.
Nah, pretty annoying.
Yeah, like the kid off of Brady Bunch. What was the one they added in?
Cousin Oliver.
Yeah. Cousin Oliver. But yeah, but that's not a prestige show. But I get it.
Yeah.
That's stunt casting. Oh, we need a younger kid. All of our boys now have facial hair and pubes. And once Bobby's voice changed, they need a little whelp. Cindy's boobs are starting to show. You can't have that. Alice, she started wearing low-cut maid outfits. I was thinking more about the Brady Bunch and why did they have a full-time maid? Like, the mom didn't work, right?
No.
She was such a bad mom that she needed to have somebody else there to help. I mean, there were six kids, but
maybe she was the dad's maid before they got married and they didn't want to fire her.
She was, but maybe that's an episode. Maybe that's dealt with in the pilot. I'll go back and watch. I like how the movie handled Marcia and Greg sharing the upstairs.
I'd rather watch you score any day.
Marcia, Greg. Those movies are both funny. Highly recommend those movies.
But what are you watching?
Watching here.
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
We watch.
I think we all watch The Kids in the Hall documentary, Comedy Punks. There's two. I've only watched the first one. I haven't had time to
watch two episodes of it. It's basically like a movie.
But it's pretty amazing. If you're into Kids in the Hall, it's an awesome behind-the-scenes look. Because they're a troop of people who've had cameras on them since they started doing improvisation and doing these shows. And it's the guy with the towel around him. He was their buddy and he pretty much was the videographer the whole time. So there's tons and tons of footage and you can see them working on their bits that went on television that eventually made it to television. You know, Lorne Michaels is there talking about the show and they're all there. It's really good. I'm really happy for this resurgence in Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, I'd love to see the origin story, which I didn't know, like how Dave and Kevin came together first,
mm-hmm.
and then Bruce and Mark came together like on the other side of the country.
Yeah. Some of them in Calgary, some of them in Toronto.
And then Scott finally came along and they all were like, oh, this guy's got to be in the troupe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just thinking back to how long ago that was 1988 is when it premiered on HBO. And all these things that they were doing comedy wise, especially just being out in the open and having an open gay character doing parodies of gay culture in a way that would affect how, you know, at the time people who weren't gay reacted to that in comedy. It was just brilliant, you know, so far ahead of their game in that regard. And, you know, doing a sketch comedy with kind of feeling like Monty Python a little bit, but, you know, seeing that that's influenced, but really taking that mantle and running with it. It's just such an amazing show. I can watch it, the old episodes, and laugh. I really like the movie. We've talked about it ad nauseum, but I'm so happy. All the episodes from all the seasons, I guess, are on there now, and the documentary, and then all the new episodes. And hopefully they'll get another season. I know they're all clamoring for it. They're asking for it. So,
yeah, I hope they do. I mean, there's still so much they didn't touch on. I mean, they have so much content and so many characters, reoccurring characters that they, you know, they couldn't even in a new season fit all of them in there. So, yeah, it'd be great to see, you know, 90-year-old chicken lady.
Yeah. Paul Bellini is the guy in the towel. I didn't know this either, but I read the biography book that came out a couple years ago before the movie, the documentary was made. But I didn't know Mark McKinney was a diplomat's son, and he said it. He goes, you know, I was supposed to be the next prime minister, or eventually be prime minister of Canada, and they ended up being a comedian.
Yeah,
but that's how those people make it. You know, they do all those things.
And that's why Lorne Michaels would only talk to him when he called on the phone.
Really? I forget that. Why?
He was the diplomat's son, and he could, you know, he.
Oh, they, yeah.
They were each other's people. You know.
Right. So highly recommend that, without spoiling it, if you're not all caught up. Better Call Saul's mid-season finale aired Monday night, and
I can't believe they killed Saul.
I can't either. I don't know how they're going to explain it.
How that he was supposed to be alive in Breaking Bad.
I think Lalo clones him.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Now, they don't kill. There will be spoilers here. They do not kill Saul, of course. They kill Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy's dead.
Right, Jimmy's dead. Because I'm clamoring for this, it's not something you can binge. You have to wait, and now we have to wait until July. I've been planning, and finally started a rewatch of Breaking Bad, and made it to the season three when Saul shows up, because Badger gets arrested and you know, his face is on the billboard when Badger gets arrested selling dope to, what's that actor's name? That skinny actor, DJ. Yeah. Who he's a really good actor. I wish he had been in it more, but anyway, and it's just amazing to see Gus Fring in that season as well. Just how young they all look, Mike. They all look so young, and they didn't really do any digital de-aging, I guess. Maybe on Jimmy and Kim, it looks like they did, but
they definitely just gave him more hair.
Yeah. But they, yeah. You got to suspend disbelief, but they really look young as shit.
Anyway. Also, he had worked out so much and gotten in shape for his movie.
Yeah, he's not chubby, yeah.
Yeah, so he just automatically looked a little younger, just being thinner.
But there's some things that he says that I've been trying to figure out. So there's the scene where Walt and Jesse kidnap him and take him out, make him like they have a hole dug for him out in the desert. And he turns around and goes, "Who sent you, Lalo?" Or does he say Lalo's people? It was Ignacio. And he's talking, these characters hadn't even, you know, been invented yet. They're just names. Or maybe they were, I don't know. But he didn't know who they were. He just threw names out because this was, what, 2009, 2010? And that calls back to this season of Better Call Saul, because Lalo is chasing, you know, is trying to get to Gus. And, you know, and of course, Ignacio Nacho is dead already. So it didn't make any sense to me. And I'm trying to go, you know, go to Reddit where there's all sorts of things. But Jeff, you explained it. How does that work? And then how far ahead is Breaking Bad from that season, from this season of Better Call Saul? Do you know?
I think it'll probably go, right, like pretty much right after the beginning of Breaking Bad will be right after Better Call Saul ends.
So you don't think that that's, I've been reading some places it was a couple years in the future. Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. But it can't be too far because it, too far in the future, he's already Gene.
And yeah, he's
living in Omaha working at Cinnabon.
But you know what I'm saying? Because he would know. Jimmy, at the point where they take him, when they take Saul out to the desert to threaten him because they want his representation for Badger, or they want his help or whatever, they take him out and Jesse and Walt
are going to... He's just saying those names that would mean something to Walt, who's in the business.
Yeah, but Walt wouldn't know who they are.
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
He doesn't know who they are.
Yeah, he would. They're people associated with Gus Fring.
He doesn't know it's Walt yet until Walt coughs, and then he knows it's Walt. He doesn't know who either of them are yet.
Right, well, that's why he's saying the names to try and make them know that he's associated or that he knows those people.
Well, people keep saying that it was explained, and they're explaining it in Reddit, and I can't figure it out. There's also all sorts of weird theories about what's going to happen to Kim, whether she's going to go to the cleaners, you know, and disappear, or the vacuum cleaner guy is going to disappear. How are they going to bring that guy into it since that actor, of course, is dead? It's just,
they don't have to show him. They just show the car.
But were you, okay, spoiler alert, were you expecting Howard to get killed?
No.
I wasn't either. That fucking blew me away. And how they pulled all that shit on him and drove him insane. Yeah. It is such good writing. There isn't a better show on TV than that show right now, especially, I mean, at least for dramas. There certainly isn't. I can't think of anything that's better than that show. I think in some ways it's better than Breaking Bad. And Dustin and I were talking either before or while you were getting your computer fixed there. He's rewatching The Sopranos again, and that's something that I can do over and over again. And I haven't for a while. It's been a minute, but I've started, because I'm jonesing for this whole universe of Better Call Saul and whatnot, I started rewatching Breaking Bad. And it's so hard to watch that show. Like, you can, let's watch Breaking Bad. Let's like The Sopranos, because The Sopranos has a lot of jokes in it. People get killed, but it's cartoonish, and you don't, and they're people that are scumbags who die. I'm Breaking Bad, Jesse's heart gets broken in every episode. He gets the shit beat out of him. You feel terrible for him because he's kind of like trapped by his circumstances. Walt is a piece of fucking shit, and he just becomes worse and worse and worse and worse. He hates his family. He hates
his break. His wife slept with her boss.
You can tell in the very first episode just by his demeanor that he can't stand his life. And this whole thing of him manufacturing the crystal meth and becoming a crime boss, he loves every minute of it. And he just unravels. But, you know, and then his wife, she's a terrible actress. The people on the show that I like the most are Hank and Walt Jr. And Hank walks around, you know, projecting an image of who he is, and he's, you know, like a manly dude, and he won't ever, you know, reveal his emotions. But you get the sense that he's genuine. Skyler's a liar. Walt's a liar. Walter Jr. is a decent person. And that's about it. I mean, until you get to like Mike and all those.
His name's Flynn, Tim.
Oh, I almost did him. Yeah, I better not. But I used to. But it's not cool to do that sort of thing. Anyway, I threw myself off. I really was. It was right there, and I had a joke. And
I just stick with doing the guy who doesn't like gay cowboys in movies.
So anyway, it's just such a good show. And the writing, it may almost be better than The Sopranos, but it's not. I mean, but it might be. I don't know. Sopranos it's just a show that I love. It's like a record that you really like. You can play it over and over and over again, and then, you know, pick it up and start it over again. That's the way Sopranos is. Breaking Bad, not so much for me. I'm going to finish it, but I just know it just gets worse and worse. Then I'm going to watch El Camino, and then I'm going to rewatch Better Call Saul. Why? I don't know.
There's so much new stuff. How do you have time to watch old stuff over again?
I don't know. I like it. There's new music, too, and I listen to old music. Yeah. But I did watch the Sissy Space Check. We have another planet in our shed. Shed Planet. Is that the name of that show? Shed Planet, right?
Where they have that Pootole in their shed.
Night Sky.
Yeah.
Starry Night.
It is so weird to see him doddering around like an old man.
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, because he doesn't usually play those kind of roles. I watched the first episode. I thought it was okay. I'm going to keep watching it.
Yeah, you really could have got that whole first episode if you'd have just watched the trailer like twice. It was pretty much, there was no other information really given. Even the last scene, that last little scene that tags into episode two, it was in the trailer. So,
are our guests here yet?
Yes.
All right. Let's bring them on.
Okay.
Hey, they're there.
Brian, you're muted.
I know. I just kind of noticed that I was muted, so now I stopped.
There you go. Okay.
Babs actually planned ahead with his background.
I did. Babs.
I don't know. Sorry, I should say John. I don't want to let everybody know that we all call him Babs.
I don't know, Babs, but I do know this. It'll be who take care of you.
That's right.
Only certain people of a certain age get that reference.
That's right.
But if you do, knock, knock. Who's there? Did you guys have that record that was on the Saturday Night Live record, the LP that had bits?
Yeah.
No, I didn't have. I had the Bob and Doug McKenzie.
That's a great record too.
I wish I still had it. I don't know what happened to it.
It was weird. They would take records or take TV shows like All in the Family had a record and had
bits
on it and the song, of course, but it had bits on it from the
show. Remember, Monty Python had records all the time that were. Some were sketches from the show and then with just weird linking material sometimes.
Yeah. I expect them to. I didn't expect to hear like a Twinkle Toes Roger. What's the matter? Would you watch anybody who wears glasses? Is gay? No, meathead. A guy who wears glasses has a four eyes. And that's where we're going to end that because even though it was 1971, you can't say what you could say in 1971.
Yeah, right.
Well, that was the equivalent of the extended universe back then. You had records.
Yes, it was. Yeah, you're right.
Probably some All in the Family comics as well.
A friend of mine had a Tonight Show with Johnny Carson record from like 73 or something like
that. I
had
that.
Did you have that? Yeah.
I have it still.
Oh, you still have it?
Mm-hmm. The one that I don't have anymore is Steve Allen, who used to record some stuff, and he would do prank. He had a whole album of prank phone calls, and I thought they were funny as hell. But they're not.
There's a narrow window when stuff like that is funny and you revisit and it's like, oh, well, okay.
When you're
I'll bet Steve Allen's were better than the Jerky Boys, though. Mm,
I'm going to have to say no. The most recent Jerky Boys record, which was garbage, yes, definitely. But those, some of those original ones were, and I think it was more of the shock value and the voices and the way he did things, but prank phone calls have always been funny to me, and I can prove that I'm good at them because I got arrested for it. But that's not why we have you guys on the show. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Of course, John Babs Babcock. Say hello, John.
Hi, everybody.
And Brian Troxell, who
is
the star of Hawkeye on Disney Plus.
The real villain of Hawkeye.
That's right. The wine cellar. Or,
through all the high class events that get destroyed by villains.
And also in a heavy boardroom meeting in Cobra Kai about the All Valley tournament.
That's right. Not in season 5, though.
No?
The upcoming season 5. I'm not in that.
That sucks.
The rest of the board members?
No, I don't. None of us, well, unless they're keeping a secret from me. Right. No, I don't think
Brian.
I don't think there's a tournament in season 5.
Oh, okay.
Just to show them.
So they're just going to face off dojo to dojo with the.
Yeah, well, they gotta knock down Cobra Kai.
It ended on a pretty big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
That show does so well for something that was tossed around a little bit in the 80s. So you had Karate Kid, Karate Kid 2, Karate Kid 3, and then the next Karate Kid, which was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Has she made a cameo?
No, not yet, but they've talked about it.
I wonder if she will. She's like a stereo.
She's part of the universe. She's part of the canon.
Everybody will be on.
Yeah.
What about the kid who wore the making bacon shirt with the two pigs having sex? It wasn't John Travolta. No, that wasn't John Travolta. Was it? No, it wasn't his sister.
John Travolta was in Grease.
No, his sister. I keep the lady that played Danny's mom, I confuse sometimes with John Travolta's sister, who was an actress.
Oh, right. I know who you mean. Forget her name.
John Travolta's actress looks just like John Travolta, so no. That isn't her. So you guys are with Sketchworks, and I want to know, were both of you also in the campaign, or were you involved with the campaign, the television series on the Fantasy Network?
I am one of the writers, and okay. Then in episode 3, I play Will the Washer.
Okay.
Who says, "Give me your clothes, love." So that's
the Gary. He's the Gary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Campaign.
Sweet. Brian should be in an upcoming episode once we get funding and we can do more. So keep watching on the Fantasy Network. But yeah, I kind of brought on early on with Matt Metzger as one of the writers, and sat around and wrote a couple of those. And yeah, it was a lot of fun to write and a lot of fun to shoot most of the time. And
a lot of Sketchworks people
involved. Yeah, yeah, a lot of Sketchworks people in that.
Matt's a cool guy. I had him on my Saturday radio show called The Popcast. Mm-hmm. And we did a pretty long interview that I had to cut down to like 6 minutes. The whole thing at the end.
So like, talk to me for 2 hours.
Yeah, no, but you have to, because the radio show, you think about, okay, I did a 20-minute interview, but I got to hack 10 minutes out because commercials and traffic and weather. And
you got to get the
ED. Weather on the eights.
You got to get the ED medication commercials in.
Yeah. Have you heard the new ED commercial? It's Gil from the Mint. I'm like, oh God, this guy's got my kids. You're here to talk about Vape the Musical.
Vape the Musical.
We talked with you guys, what was it, 2018, 2019? I think it was 2018.
I think it was 2019.
August of 2019.
It was in the before times.
Right before everything shut down.
Yeah. Right.
So if you're going to be involved in a long protracted lawsuit, why not do it during COVID when you can't perform anyway?
Right.
Tell us who these patent trolls are that are dragging guys into court.
Well, so we did this show called Vape here in Atlanta in 2018. And it was a nice hit. People liked it. So we signed an agreement to go perform it in New York. So if you do a performance of Grease, like in your high school, and you're doing the show, you have to get a license from Concord Theatricals to do the show, to do the songs and all that stuff. We weren't doing Grease. We wrote our own parody of Grease. So Concord Theatricals, 10 days before our show, shows in New York, they sent us a cease and desist order and sent Improv Asylum, where we were going to do the shows, a cease and desist order saying, you don't have a license, you can't do Grease. And we're like, well, we're not doing Grease. So eventually, so we had to cancel the shows. And since we're obviously not doing Grease, doing a parody of Grease, then we spent a lot of hard work writing and honing and making into our own thing. So we said, well, we can either walk away and be bullied, or we can sue them. So we sued them. And we sued the rights holders of Grease, which is Jim Jacobs, who is still alive, and the estate of Warren Casey, who is dead, the folks who wrote the original Grease. And their first lawyer, I won't even mention his name, first lawyer I think the whole other side was just blindsided by the fact that we had the gall to actually sue them. Their first lawyer was like, well, I have personally approved every cease and desist order that Concord has sent out in the last 40 years. This is the first one I didn't approve of. They just did it on their own. So at first he tried to throw Concord under the bus. And so we ended up suing them. We just wanted a judge to say, look, this is a parody. This is fair use. So first, the other guys said, well, they tried to dismiss the lawsuit because after our scheduled New York shows, they withdrew the cease and desist and said, say, wait, we withdrew the cease and desist. There's no conflict here. And then we were like, so can you put that in writing that you won't send us another cease and desist if we do the show again? And they said, no, we won't do that. So the judge said, well, obviously there's still a case. And so we had some settlement negotiations and that didn't go anywhere. Every step of the way, they were just being as difficult as they could possibly be. They actually countersued us for trademark infringement, because as you can see behind Babs, our vape logo is a parody of the Grease logo, only a vape cloud instead of a car. And they also countersued us for violation of Jim Jacobs's right to privacy, because we said it was based on Grease written by Jim Jacobs and Warren Casey.
Let me ask you this. How does Mad Magazine get away with doing a parody, and how does Weird Al get away with it?
Exactly.
Weird Al doesn't have to go to the artist and ask for their blessings, but he does.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They say no, he doesn't usually do it.
There are four factors that determine whether something is fair use and a parody. And everything that Mad Magazine does and everything that we did in Vape fits these. It's the purpose and the character of the use. Are you transforming it into something else? Mad Magazine, you're not just like taking Grease and changing the word Grease to, you know, gel. You're actually turning it into its own work. And our own work commented on not just misogyny in the 50s, but on misogyny in Grease and various other aspects of the play. The second factor is the nature of the original copyrighted work, which really hasn't come into play because it's parody. You have to sort of use the original work. The amount of the portion used in relation to the work as a whole, we changed and added things, and the stuff they said, oh, well, you brought in stuff like the Thunder Road Race and the pajama party that, you know, weren't that you didn't need to bring into to vape, and but we turned those into jokes. We basically had, you know, the cars were Priuses, and, you know, Frenchie at the end says, how'd you enjoy that big dick measuring contest? And, you know, and then the pajama party, you know, we in the movie, they do this whole song and dance, and Sandy can't hear it, even though she's in the bathroom. And so we turn that into a joke. So even the stuff that we used, even that we didn't change, is building up our story inside our own parody universe. And then the fourth thing is the effect of the parody, the new thing on the old thing. Nobody's going to go buy a ticket for vapes thinking it's Grease.
Right.
Or that it's a sequel to Grease, or that it's an updated remake of Grease.
Right. Or a reboot.
Yeah. Which they are doing. The judge said that we all four of those factors were in our favor. They found that vape is a fair use parody. They dismissed the trademark infringement. They dismissed the right to privacy violation. And she awarded us, Judge Sweeney awarded us our legal fees.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah, it's about as total and complete a win as you can get in court.
Yeah, no doubt.
True. One of the things I remember early on is we had to provide examples of why this was a parody. And I found that to be one of the hardest things to go through and write why this joke was a parody and why it was funny. It was just so counterintuitive to go through and like dissect everything most things on there to say, oh, well, this is funny because, and this is pointing out the fact that, you know, X, Y, and Z and Greek, you know, so it was heart wrenching.
to bring everybody up to speed that may not have listened to the first time you guys were on, or may not really know what you're parodying. I mean, they'll know you're parodying Grease, but what is the gist of vape and how does it turn Grease on its head?
Well, it kind of looks at the way the 50s culture is portrayed in Grease.
In the 70s was when that was big.
Yeah. Or even early 70s when the musical first came out. So it looks at those kind of male misogynistic attitudes towards women and relationships in Grease, as even, you know, down to things like one of the first lines is, you're going to love Rydell, hi Sandy, everyone busts out in a choreographed song and dance, and we all look at least 30.
Yeah,
you know that, because in the film, Olivia Newton-John I think was like 31, you know, John Travolta was maybe 28 or something like that. So, you know,
Channing was like 35.
Right? Yeah. So,
but that's actually a key legal point. If we had used a parody of Grease to make fun of things in the 50s, mm-hmm. that could have gone against us. But because we specifically made fun of the things in Grease itself, that was big in our favor that it was a parody. It's not just like, hey, we're using the songs of Grease and changing the lyrics to make a general comment on things in the 50s. That would not be fair use. That's we're using copyrighted material for something completely different.
You're actually the second parody of Grease. Grease 2 is the first. Sorry, Jeff. Because Jeff loves Grease 2, and I pick on him about that.
Also, you know, the fact that at the beginning of Grease, you know, Sandy just shows up at the high school, without any, like, how did that happen? How did she move there in this town? And, you know, how did all that lay out, which they never explained? It was just,
nanny for somebody, and he met her on a beach or something. How did they meet? I don't remember that.
She was on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then, now I go to the school with you. Well, why? Well, how did? What's going on here? So yeah, just those things, kind of that really are kind of ludicrous in Grease.
Yeah, and one of the other things the judge made a point to mention is not only did we satire things in Grease like that, but we also made changes of our own. In fact, the judge specifically pointed out we took the character of Coach Calhoun, which I played. And this is when the whole Larry Nassar thing was blowing up. So we turned him into basically a naughty, naughty touch coach to get handsy with Danny. And we also took Principal McGee, who Julie Cher played, and we turned her into a raging opioid. She would confiscate the drugs from the school and then just take those up to my car.
When do you think you'll get the production up and running again?
We've already started planning. We've chatted with Casey Holloway, our director, and Katie Hogan, who is the main writer. And we were told. I asked. Let me give a shout out quick. Let me give a shout out to our lawyers while we're here, because this Babs mentioned putting all these things together, like the explanation. This 10-day period from when we got the cease and desist to when we decided to look into our legal options to when we decided to sue was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. It's like, I didn't know any lawyers. So we found, I called a couple of friends in the comedy community and said, do you know any entertainment lawyers in Atlanta? And they recommended Nancy Prager. So I called Nancy Prager. So here's the deal. Do you know any lawyers in New York? And so she found Jordan Greenberger, who had already won a parody case involving a musical based on The Grinch, Dr. Seuss. So he already had a win under his belt in this field. And they were both amazing, fantastic. But having to file our own copyright and having to put all these things in writing, say, okay, what's the difference? What's this? Blah, 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 blah. That was crazy.
I've been trying to get my lawyer, Howard Hamlin, on the line for like 2 weeks now. He's not answering the
phone. He's out in L.A. It's a long-distance call.
Did you guys have a copy of the presentation, or was this all read off of, like, scripts?
This was originally, what did we think was the best way to do it? We could have submitted the script into evidence, but in the end, we decided, look, the case is simple for the judge. Watch Grease, watch Vape. And fortunately, we had a good recording of one of our Atlanta shows in its entirety. So that's basically what we submitted as evidence. We had to buy DVDs of Grease and burn flash drives of Vape. And just, you know, eventually the judge, Judge Swain, sat down and watched them and issued her opinion 2 weeks ago.
And two, if I could say, if I remember, Brian, Nancy Prager initially did come at it with a little bit of skepticism. Go, okay, well, you know, I'm a big, copyright supporter. So let me take a look at your performance of Vape, and she just didn't dive in. Yeah, I'm here for you. You know, she looked at it and was like, oh, yeah, there is a case here. This is a parody. This is clearly a parody.
Smoke up our asses trying to get, you know, trying to get some legal pieces. Oh, I know what you asked. Putting the show back up. And that was that. There was a long way to get around to this. So we asked Jordan after the verdict came down, because some of our lingo is dated from 2018. So I said, what can we update in this? And Jordan was like, do not change anything related to Greece, because we already have a ruling in our favor. If you change any of that, they could come back and say, well, now this is a different parody, and we're going to send you another cease and desist. So as far as that goes, we just wanted to clean up some things around the edges, bring the slang up to date. You know, there's a reference to Hillary and Trump and all that stuff, and just take some of the ancillary things and update it. But yeah, the process is underway, and you know, so as soon as we get everything back up, we're not on a deadline. We want to make sure that we get the show in as good a place as it can be, considering the publicity around all of this. So when it does come back, that it's, you know, as good as it can possibly be. So hopefully in the next, certainly this year, probably in the
fall. Yeah, fall.
We'd all like to go. I definitely think
yeah,
we should.
For sure. Yeah, you're going to do it here in Atlanta, or you're going to go straight to New York?
Yeah, we'll do it here in Atlanta, because the Village Theater, which is where we do a lot of our shows, they've been going, is this lawsuit over yet? We'd like to see you.
We want you back.
So since they've been our longtime partners locally, we'll do it first there for however many, I don't know how many performances we'll do.
The first runs here in Atlanta were fantastic. I mean, you know, we had a lot of sellout nights. We had to cram more people than we should have into theater spaces. And it was, you know, it was really, you know, really felt. I think we were all in some way, you get so close to it. You rehearsed it so much, and particularly with comedy, you can start to lose focus of where the funny is and, you know, how to do it, because just you're just so used to it. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to be getting to that point. But then the moment the lights went up, the first performance, and the two actors hit the stage, the response from the audience was immediate. And I'd never been involved with like a production like that before, where it was just boom, right from lights up, and they connected right away with it. I was like, okay, we've got something good here. So that was very nice. And we've had a lot of fun doing it, and really I'm looking forward to, you know, getting back in there and getting, as Brian says, kick the rust off and get back in shape, you know, to do it. And definitely want to share it as soon as we can when it's ready, you know, with everyone in Atlanta.
We're all looking forward to seeing
we'll definitely you guys out there. Babs, do you want to mention real quick your line as Duty that's gotten the most applause and how much it has changed now?
I don't want to give too much of that away, but there was a line where I kind of mentioned my real age in the piece, and now that has advanced 3 years, so yeah, that's gonna be interesting.
Is there a place people can go, maybe see a clip or two or see some photos or any kind of publicity for it? Does it have its own website?
I think there's a trailer up and a couple of video clips on our YouTube channel, the Sketchworks YouTube channel. If you go to sketchworkscomedy.com, our website, there are links to all of our socials, including the YouTube there. And you can click over to our YouTube. We never had the whole show up.
No.
Because why would we want to give it away?
You don't want to do that, but maybe
if it's something, don't give it away for free.
Right.
But there are some trailers and some clips and the theme song and the opening credits and all that good stuff. So yeah, you can get a feel of the show.
And tell everybody what's going on with Sketchworks too, you guys.
Babs, you want to talk about the writer's show we have at the end of June?
Yeah, actually, I'm finishing up. I had the advanced sketch writing class, which is finishing up next week. And those sketches that those four writers have written are going to be in a showcase on June 24th and 25th at Village Theater. And it's some funny stuff. It's some, you know, kind of really raw, if you will, because, you know, some of them have more writing experience than others, but it's all, you know, funny material. And so we're going to be putting a show together, a showcase at the end of June for that. Every Tuesday, news break. Brian or Allie or Tim hosting. Usually it's Brian. You know, we do that every week as well. And oh, we got a summer camp.
Maria would kill us if we don't.
Yeah, we got to mention the summer camp. We have a summer camp for funny kids.
You have two, don't you?
Yeah. They have a June session and a July session, 2 weeks each.
Yeah. Yeah,
so teen session in July. So I think ages 8 to 14. But if you get a funny kid who's younger, we can work with them. Yeah, 2 weeks. They write their own sketches. We do a filmed piece. They put on a live show on the second Saturday. It's a lot. I don't like children, but it's a lot of fun, even for me.
How fun is that? If you have a creative kid who. Yeah. You know, funny to the point of doing annoying voices and everything, or just whatever, you know, but to get them an opportunity like this to have something they could show their friends and you know, look back upon later if they make it, you know, if that's something that they get the bug to do.
Yeah, I'm always I've done it for the past couple of years as like the writing supervisor, writing coach. And so I come in like the first 4 days to help them come up with ideas and flesh them out and, you know, write them out. And I'm always, by then the end of the second week when they're doing the show, I'm always blown away by, you know, the fact that they memorized it. They hit their mark. You know, they put the whole show together and it's, you know, and it's funny, too. I mean, these are kids who enjoy, you know, performing and doing all that. I would have killed for that as a kid.
yeah. To be able to do sketch comedy as a kid would have been
right.
It was just like doing sketch comedy in your room while you're watching SCTV or something.
No doubt.
We also just released a short film, our first short film since the Before Times, The New Princess.
Okay.
But the new Disney princess that Ashley Heath directed and wrote.
She's in The Staircase. Also-
Yeah, she's yeah. Plus, we got three actors in The Staircase: Gene Alexander, Ashley Heath, and Leanna Adams. So watch that on HBO Max. Nice. That's going to be our next sketch comedy show. It'll be a parody of The Staircase.
Jeff, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, based on the them winning the lawsuit, I'm going to start working on my parody of Meatballs about your summer camp. Oh. impossible.
Now that we know how the cease and desist game is played.
Yeah.
And then we'll do Revenge of the Nerds, where the cheerleader doesn't fall in love with the nerd because he assaulted her in a moon.
Yeah, it's sort of like an alternate ending of Grease, where Sandy changes everything about herself to land a man. Revenge of the Nerds. Well, it's just date rape a girl and fall in love with
I don't even think you can modify it with date.
That's true. No, I
didn't want to say it. Sexual assault. Yeah, there's no modifier. That's just, it is what it is. Oh, I love this guy. Okay. John Babcock and Brian Troxell, thank you for coming on from Sketchworks. You guys can find out all sorts of things about Sketchworks just by going to sketchworkscomedy.com. Pictures, clips, sign your kids up for the camp. If they have an inkling, go there and sign up, because I bet it'll be a lot of fun. I wish we had something like that. Please come on sometime. We really enjoy having you, and best of luck with everything. And we hope that that the campaign gets more episodes as well.
Yeah.
Only because I promised
the role. Tim and I want to be in it.
Yeah. Check right. that out too.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Do you like pizza and gyros? Well, I can tell you what. When you combine both of them, you get one great restaurant. And I'm talking, of course, about Atlanta Pizza and Gyro. We love that Atlanta Pizza and Gyro has been a longtime sponsor of Radio Labyrinth podcast. Thank you to Mike Hall and everyone at the restaurant. See their new full-color... No, this is not an ad for the money store. But it's kind of based on Cy Sterling and him. But I don't know. See their new full-color menus with pictures of the food that are now at their restaurant. I had the opportunity to look at their menus last night. They are very glossy, and they only have one thing repeated twice. I figured they got them, and like, fuck it, we're not going to get new ones, so we'll just keep these with the error on them. And like a baseball card, if you have the error menu, it might be worth money. Atlanta Pizza and Gyro has a food truck. They are going to food truck events, and they also have weekly team trivia, which we played and lost. Came in with 0 points, even though we led the whole game, and then we bet it all because we thought we were smarter than everybody about 80s movies. We aren't. That's okay. Not everybody knows exactly what time the lightning struck the clock tower in Back to the Future. And if you do, you're a dork.
We're only an hour off, by the way.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's the Bible. No, that was one of the other answers. And also, in addition to Team Trivia, they have great local craft beers like Firemaker Brewing's Chattahoochee Tea Southeastern IPA, which is a mouthful both to read and drink, in cans. Dry County Brewing's Neon Neon Sour on tap, and Burnt Hickory Brewing's Driving and Crying Straight to Hell IPA. You have one sip, it will burn your mouth, and you'll feel like you're in hell. No, you will break out in song and sing all of Straight to Hell, like annoying people at bars used to do before those people turned into old people like us. Just to name a few, I did sample a Tucker Brewing's Red Lager. It was very good. Atlanta Pizza and Euro loves serving the local communities of Conyers, Covington, and the East Metropolitan Atlanta area, and I'd like to thank them for all their continued support and business throughout the years.
How are those mushrooms?
Their deep-fried mushrooms are to die for. Although I recommend, instead of pizza sauce or a tomato-based sauce, a cream-based sauce might go better with those.
Some of that tzatziki sauce and dip them in there.
Tzatziki sauce is an option. I was thinking more of a blue cheese type of option.
And you might want to let them cool before the third degree burns.
They will burn your mouth if you don't wait for them to cool off. And the thing that really gets you is the little puddle of grease inside each and every one that is scalding hot and ready to burn your lips. Try them, won't you?
You could have waited until they brought them to the table instead of eating them straight out of the fryer. That was.
I went to the back and put my hand into the fryer because I was hungry and I liked them fresh. And now I have third-degree burns on my hands, but it was worth it because those were fresh mushrooms. Some places give you the mushrooms that have all the black shit growing on them. Isn't it weird that a fungus gets a different fungus to grow on it? They're like, oh my God, these mushrooms have mushrooms on them. If you fry it, it will kill all of that, and you'll get delicious mushroom mini flavor. But all kidding aside, they were very good. All right, they are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9. Saturdays, 12 to 9, closed on Sunday. And if you see the food truck out and about and you're like, hey, I'm hungry, and there's a food truck over there, not if he's at like a rest stop or something, he's probably not going to. But if you see them at like an event where you know that there's probably food in there, go try it because the pizza is really good. I had a pepperoni pizza last night, a 6-inch one, and I was like disappointed when it showed up because it was small. And then I'm like, I shouldn't be disappointed because this is really all I need to eat.
And you of all people should know how huge 6 inches is.
I know. I could. I like. It's like, hey, I'm almost covered this. coming up, don't forget on my podcast, which you can listen to on the radio on Saturday nights, or if you download the app, which is the WSB radio app, you can listen to it streaming, or you can wait till Monday. This coming Monday is Memorial Day, so you're going to wait until Tuesday. And then you'll get last week's and this week's episode because you forgot to do last week's. anyway, I never got around to saying who's on the podcast. Bert Kreischer. And hopefully he said he would do it. He said he would do Radio Labyrinth. So hopefully we can get like an hour with him. That'd be a lot of fun because he's funny. And I know you guys like him. And I told him that. And he said, yeah, man. I can't do an impression of him. but it was fun talking to him. It's been about a year or two, maybe three. But we talked for quite a while. It'll be cut down for radio. And then, you know, when it comes out on podcast, of course, the whole thing will be there. I don't edit it unless I sound stupid, which I start to at the end because I start fanboying. But that's me and that's my nature. All right.
Views, views.
Or.
And snooze.
Just last week's to go over, we all watched Carlin and American Dream. I blew through all of Love, Death, and Robots in like an hour.
Yeah, me too. It was good. All of them. All of them were good.
That pirate one or the fisherman one.
Yeah, the crab.
Blew me away.
Yeah.
And the last one was really good.
That last one was amazing because I swore that it was photography and not animation, but it was animation. I mean, it's so real looking. It's crazy.
Like the people looked like real actors and stuff.
Yeah.
Like some of them.
Yeah, it definitely blew the whole, what is it, the Uncanny Valley was just not there for that one. Yeah, it was really good.
And Angeline, I haven't got to yet.
I watched the first 30 minutes of it, and it's just not for me.
Not for you?
Nah. What's some people might like it, but it just wasn't my style.
Emmy Rossum from Shameless is playing Angeline, that blonde lady from the billboards with the
pink. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, so this week's Views or Snooze, Alone Season 9 on History Channel starts this week.
Views?
Yep, the Views for me. Love that show. I didn't see any local or people that we would associate with, like the lady from Wellsboro who was on last season.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's going to be a good crew. So that's the Views for me. Number two, That Damn Michael Che Show comes back on HBO Max this week. Season two.
That's a snooze.
Season one is very funny. You should watch it.
I didn't watch season one, but I'll give it a Views. I like Michael Che. He's funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious. And season one was great. And then Obi-Wan Kenobi is number three. Starts this week.
That's no, that's a definitely.
Yeah, it's definitely a Views.
Yeah,
I did see the whole Darth Vader thing.
I don't know who are the people that are chasing him. They look annoying. The what are they called? They have a specific name.
The Jedi hunters
or whatever. I don't like those characters. Like I found the one thing in a lot of things about the Book of Boba Fett annoyed me, but the blue guy, the Western Lee Van Cleef looking fella whose name I don't recall. It was a little stupid.
Oh, the bounty hunter guy?
Yeah, so dumb. But I have high hopes for this show. And I will say that no matter what they put out, okay, the Disney puts out all these Star Wars shows. I'm not a big fan of the films, but the shows have all been pretty much really good, especially The Mandalorian. You can't go wrong with The Mandalorian. But they are 1,000 times better than Star Trek properties. I haven't continued with the Pike show. What? I'm sure I will. I'm sure I'll like it. I'll get caught up on it eventually. But really, shows like Picard.
Got better in the second season. No. I imagine it'll get better for the final season.
The final season will be 100% fan service. Yeah. Season two was terrible. I quit watching it. It just didn't make any sense. And the fact that chick ended up being the Borg Queen was dumb. This didn't make any sense. The Borg never, anyway, the Borg never acted that way in this series. Why are they acting like this now? I don't know. But it's written by people who know Star Trek sort of, but don't really care. And we all like, hey, Picard. And there's my little Red Letter Media very brief impression. Anyway, we don't have to fight about Star Trek. Star Trek's great.
Anyway, that's Views or Snooze, but some other things coming up this week. Shoresy starts this week on Hulu. That's the spinoff of Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Stranger Things coming back on Netflix.
Yeah, we're going to watch that. Everybody's going to watch that. Yeah,
and the Norm Macdonald special that we talked about airs on the 30th on Netflix.
Did you hear David Spade talking about that?
I heard he did talk about it, but I don't know if it's going to be on this special. This might just be the Norm recording it in his home.
But he was talking about it with Jim Downey
on
their podcast. Yeah, that's such a good podcast. It's the one I go to now because all the ones I like are gone, and I don't want to be lectured about how Body Double was terrible.
Body Double had tons of possibility.
Sure it did. Nobody remembers the guy that was in it, but Melanie Griffith was in it. Yeah.
And that's the male gaze in the repressive Reagan administration.
Anyway, I thought you'd be excited to watch that, Norm. I am.
I'm definitely going to watch it. It's going to be sad and tough to watch, but still watch it anyway.
Yeah, they say it's kind of hard to watch just because there's no audience and it's just Norm by himself doing these jokes. But I want to see. I want to see his last hour.
I was hoping that they would show that, but also the people laughing in the room who watched it.
Yeah, they're doing a documentary about it, and I don't know if that's going to be part of this or if that's going to be a separate thing.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out on the 30th when it comes out.
It'll be like watching the Todd Barry virtual stand-up thing that I paid for. I'm like, oh, you can't hear people laughing. All right, guys, have a good weekend. Happy Memorial Day. Remember those who need remembering, and we'll talk to you next week. Please remember to keep it.